Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Zayin. In today's daf, we're going to discuss a lot about bathing and a lot about wearing clothing publicly. When we're worried about schita, when we're worried about carrying, the Mishnah is going to allow putting food. First, we start with the discussion of food, putting food in cool places to keep it from spoiling. Putting clean water in hot water to warm it up. Permits walking with soaked clothing, but the Gemara is going to bring different opinions whether you're allowed to spread wet clothing out to dry in a private area. Gemara goes on to discuss a lot of halachas relating to cleaning and wearing clothing on Shabbos, the discussion of which types of wearing would be considered to be a violation of carrying on Shabbos and when it's considered wearing, which we already began to discuss a little bit yesterday with the medium felt, the not so soft, not so hard felt. Then we're going to talk about whether a person can carry a wet towel on Shabbos or if we're worried that he's going to do schita. And that could depend on whether other people are there to remind him. We're also going to talk about a lot of bathing-related issues, things that people would normally do while bathing, rubbing oil on the skin, massaging the body, scraping the skin, visiting especially therapeutic river. The Gemara is going to have what to say about this river, how the river worked, and then the daf is going to end with the discussion of what the mutter and usher ways to induce vomiting and to straighten a baby's limbs are on Shabbos. So let's begin again with the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis, where we left off, five lines before the lines get wide. Says the Mishnah, Nosin Tafshu L'toch HaBar B'Shvil Shiei Shomer. You're allowed to take cooked food and put it inside a bar, says Rashi, She'ein Bo Mayim, that doesn't have any water, just a hole in the ground, in order that it should be protected, so that it shouldn't overheat and become spoiled from the heat. So it's a good cool place, because it's underground, it's in a bar, underground, it's a good cool place to preserve it in pre-refrigeration days. You're also allowed to take clean water and put it inside, take a kli full of clean water and put it inside a mikveh that's full of dirty water just to cool the clean water off. Again, you're not mixing the clean water with the dirty water because then you won't have clean water anymore. Then you'd have dirty water. But you're taking a kli that's full of clean water and you're dipping the entire kli into a pool of dirty but cold water in order to cool off the contents of your kli. And if a person has cold water that he wants to warm up, so obviously you're not allowed to cook it on Shabbos, but you can put it in the sun. You're allowed to put it in the sun in order that it should warm up in the sun. If let's say a person was going on the road and his kelim, his clothing became soaked in the water while he was walking, so he can continue to walk with that clothing and he doesn't have to worry about anything. Once he gets to the outermost chatzar that's close to the entrance of the city, which is a place where the stuff is going to be safe, where he doesn't have to worry that it's going to get stolen or anything, then he can spread it out in the sun to dry, but he can't do it kineged ha'am. He can't do it where everybody's going to see, because if you take soaking wet clothing and you put it on a clothesline, everyone's going to think that you did the laundry on Shabbos, and you don't want to give the impression. The person doesn't want to give the impression that he did laundry on Shabbos. So that you're not allowed to do. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Going back on the first halacha of the Mishnah, isn't it possible that you're allowed to take a tavshil and put it into a bar? What malacha does that involve? The bar is already dug. It's just a hole in the ground, so it's like any other location. Why wouldn't I be able to put it in a nice, dry, cool place, like underground in a bar? So I asked the Gemara, I might have thought that we should make a gezerah. This should be aser because of ashvuy gumos. It's like evening out holes in the ground, meaning why not that it's like doing it, but that it would come to. There are two types of gzera. Sometimes you make a gzera because something resembles a malacha. Sometimes you make a gzera because something may lead to a malacha. This is not one where it will resemble the malacha of Ashvuy Gumos, but it may lead to the malacha of Ashvuy Gumos, because if you need to put a pot in the bar, you want to make sure that the karka of the bar, that the bottom of the bar, is flat. Otherwise, the pot could easily tip over. So one way you'll make sure it's flat is that you might come to be mashve gumos. You might come to sweep the bottom of the bar and make sure that it's perfectly even, and that would be that would be asar on Shabbos. So that's why we don't allow you to put the. That's why we would have thought not to allow putting a pot at the bottom of a bar on Shabbos. And the Mishnah has to tell me we're not concerned about that. That it's mutter. That it's mutter. Says the Gemara further. Now v'samayim ayafim v'ra'im. The Mishnah said you could take clean water in a kli and soak it in a and dip it in a mikvah of dirty water that will keep the clean water cold. So pshita, says Gemara again, what would the issue be? Sefer tzrichle, there's no chiddush over there. That line is not a chiddush. Of course you're allowed to take a kli of clean water and put it in dirty water. The chiddush is in the next line, v'satzon in bechama, that you're allowed to take cold water and put it out in the sun. So says Gemara, hanami pshita, why wouldn't you be allowed to put something in the sun? What's the problem? So mal detema nigzid dem la'asi, that's I might think that if you're dafka putting something in the sun with the intention to heat it, that we might think that that should be usur, the gezeira that you might come to insulate it with coals. So that's what comes to tell me that we're not worried that you're going to come to insulate it with coals. There's no concern that you're going to come to violate cooking by insulating with hot coals. Good. Mishanashu. Then the Mishnah went on. So those are the first parts of the Mishnah didn't cause us too much concern. We were able to deal with it fairly quickly. Now we move on to Mishanashu. A guy is going, Mishanashu Kelev Bederech, a person's clothing gets soaked. So we had said that he's allowed to continue walking with them, and once he gets to the outermost courtyard in town, he spreads out the clothing to dry in a private place. People won't see and suspect him of laundering clothing on Shabbos because he's dafka doing it in a private place. So Amar Rav Yudah Rav, Kol Makom Shasucham Neimaras Ayin, Afilu B'Chadrei Chadarim Aser. In general, whenever something is Aser Mishum Maras Ayin, whenever we Aser anything because of Maras Ayin, so it's normally Aser to do, even in Chadrei Chadarim, even in the most private of places. We don't assume only where people are looking it's also Mishamar Sain. Once it's also Mishamar Sain, it's also to do anywhere. So Tana and Shotchem Bechama Velo Kenegana Am, but our Mishnah says otherwise. Our Mishnah says you're not allowed to spread out this soaking wet clothing where people can see. Why? Because that's Maris Ayin. But if it's Lo Kenegana Am, then you can spread out the clothing and let it dry that way. Apparently, Bechadri Chadarim, it's Mutter. So it's against Rabbi Domirav. So it's the Gemara Tanaihi. Well, it's in fact the Machlokas, whether Kol Makom Shoschem Ne Maris Ayin Afil Bechadri Chadarim Aser or Bechadri Chadarim is mutter. Titania Shotkun Mechama Velo Kenegraam, Rablaz Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, Minein Achinami. Our Mishnah holds like a Shita that whenever something is Osrin, Mishamar Sa'ayin, Bechadre Chadorim, it's going to be mutter. But there are other Tanaim that Rabbi Dom Rav Paskin like that say that it's Osir, that even Bechadre Chadorim, it's going to be Osir. Tosos and Mesechus Ksubis asks that the Shor Mitzvah Balachov here, he quotes, that Ayin tells him such ksuba shehikshu ha'asur afilu b'chadri chadar mitirtsu dezeh dafka b'isur dar reisa avon l'chashad d'rabban mutter b'tzina. Tosos develops the following yesod, that even though we say something that's maris ha'ayin is going to be asur even b'chadri chadarim, and we do paskin like Rabbi Dom Rav that it's also afilu b'chadri chadarim, if the issue at hand is not an issue of maris ha'ayin but it's an issue of chashad, and these are two different things. Maris ha'ayin is by an isur dar reisa. Chashad would be d'rabban. Moshe has a different chilik between those two names, Maris Ha'ayin and Chashad, but this is what tells the Mechalik, that if that which they suspect you of is going to be an Issa Daraisa, that's going to be Asr B'Chadri Chadarim. But if that which you leave yourself vulnerable to suspicion of is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, then it's going to be Mutter B'Tzina, it's only going to be Asr publicly. So that's the idea. That's the chiddush of Tosfos. The Shach and Yardeus and Peizayin discusses this because that's where the Ramah talks about Cholav Shkedim. Are you allowed to have milk that's non-dairy milk on a table when you have a fleishig meal? So is that an issue of Maris Ha'ayin? So generally speaking, our minhag is that we're makel with non-dairy creamer because we assume that it's not even Maris Ha'ayin. No one's going to think that it's milk. It's so common to have a non-dairy creamer. But otherwise, it would be a serious problem. It should be an issue. Now, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Klein brings a lot of Mishnayos that disagree with Rav, and that a lot of Mishnayos that seem to assume that when we ask for something Maris Ha'ayin, that it's mutter b'chadrei chadarim. But again, as we said, that the Rif paskins halacha like Rav, and it seems that that's the way we paskin, that the halacha follows Rav, even though there seem to be several Mishnayos against Rav. Now, what about if you were to put out the clothing to dry on Erev Shabbos. So is that also Mishamaris Hayin, because it's staying out to dry on Shabbos? Meaning, is it the Maisa of putting it out to dry, or is it the Totsah of having soaking clothing on a clothesline going into Shabbos? So the Tshuvas of Rashba, Chelek Zayin Siman Tzadi Aleph, writes that the whole Isser is only Kishashatchan Bechama B'Shabbos, when you put it out in the sun on Shabbos. But if you put it out on Erev Shabbos, even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, everyone would agree you don't need to remove it from the clothesline on Shabbos, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Shin Aleph, Sif Mem Hei. Because and Levush explains that the whole cheshad is only when you put it out on Shabbos, because then it's raglayim ledavar that probably you washed it on Shabbos. Because had you washed it yesterday, then it would have been hanging there yesterday. But when you're putting it out on Erev Shabbos and it just stays there on Shabbos, and no one saw you putting it out, no one's going to think that it was washed on Shabbos, because there's no reason to think it was washed on Shabbos just because it happens to be out there still drying on Shabbos. Okay, meaning if you wash an Erev Shabbos and you first put it out on Shabbos, then people will suspect, why did you wait till Shabbos to put it out? So that's suspicious. So that's what's going to be asked. That's the act that's asked in Shemar HaSayin. I mentioned Rav Moshe has a different chilik between Mar HaSayin and Chashad, is that there is a difference between when someone will look at you and someone will say, that what you're doing must be mutter because you're doing it, versus when someone will look at you and someone will say that you're a terrible person because you're doing an avera. Meaning, what people are going to assume when they see you will make a big difference. Maris ha'ayin is when someone might come to violate an isser because they see that you're doing an act that looks like an isser, so they're going to come to do that act as well. They're going to come to do what it looks like you're doing, because they're going to think, hey, if you're doing it, then it must be okay. Chashad is a person's going to see that you go into a non-kosher restaurant, let's say, the person's going to say, oh, I can't believe that guy eats not kosher. Not that he's going to think the restaurant is kosher, that he's going to eat there, but that he's going to be choshev. That's a separate issue. V'yisim nekiyem Hashem Yisrael. That a person should always be above reproach. He should always keep his reputation intact. That's not Maris Hayin, and that, Rav Moshe writes, may not be Asr b'chadri chadarim. That may only be Asr in public, but b'chadri chadarim, that may be mutter. The classic example that people always give Maris Hayin of going into a McDonald's is in fact probably not Maris Hayin, because it's neither. Most of the time, a guy with a yarmulke goes into to a McDonald's, people are not going to say, oh, I never realized McDonald's is kosher, and nor will they probably say, I can't believe that that Jew with the yarmulke and the payas and the tzitzis hanging out eats in McDonald's. No one thinks a Jew with the yarmulke and the tzitzis hanging out is eating in even without the tzitzis hanging out. The guy with the yarmulke is eating in McDonald's. They figure he needs to go to the bathroom, because that's the reason why people go into McDonald's. That's it. So that would not be a good example in today's day and age. Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says the following chiddush: Hamenar taliso b'Shabbos chayiv chatos. That if somebody shakes out his clothing on Shabbos, he's chayiv to bring korban chatos. He has violated Shabbos. This is apparently a violation of mechabes or melabein. He's cleaned his clothing by shaking off the dirt from his talis on Shabbos. But there are some exceptions. There are some qualifications rather. Lo amran ela b'chaditi. It's only if it's a new garment. Aval ba'atiki leslanba. But if it's an old garment, then it's not going to be a problem. Velo amran ela b'uchmi. It's only a problem on a black garment. Dirt shows up more easily on a black garment, but if it's a white garment or a red garment, then we're not concerned about this. And also, it's only an issue if the owner is particular not to have dirt on his clothing. So then the Gemara tells two stories of people who were not particular about having dirt on their clothing, and therefore it was mutter for them to shake out their clothing on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells the stories as follows. Ula went to Pumbedisa and he saw that the rabbis were shaking out their clothing. Omer kamachalin rabbanon shabbata. He says, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. The rabbis are all being mechal Shabbos. They're all shaking dirt off their clothing. Amalu Rav Yehuda nefutzi leba'ape anan lo kaptin and midi. He says, you could keep going. You can keep on shaking it out right in front of his face. No problem, because we're not makbid about it. We don't care so much about the dirt, so we could shake the dirt off, because one of the qualifications, one of the rules in terms of shaking off the dirt that we said was that it's only a problem if someone is makbid about it. So that is story number one. Story number two, Abai Havakoi Kamed Rav Yosef. Abai was sitting, was by Rav Yosef. Amrlei Havli Kumtai. So Rav Yosef said, can you do me a favor? Give me my hat. Chaza Di'ika Tala Alei. And he saw that there was some dew on the hat, so he didn't know what to do. Havakamachsim Lemisfilei. So he hesitated to give it to him. Amrlei Nafot Shadi Anan Lo Kapti Nimidi. He said, just shake it off. It's fine. We're not makbid about it so much, so you could shake it off. You don't have to, we don't have to worry about shaking it off so much, because we're not makbid about these things. The Rashi explains kapar alayim means lulovshan ad sheinarim. It's that it's not that you don't care at all. It's that you wouldn't mind wearing it without shaking it out. People would still wear it even if it weren't shaken out. The Beis Yosef in Simon Shin Beis writes within the Shitas Rambam to explain the Shitas Rambam in the 10th parak of Hilchos Shabbos Halach Yud Ches shelo yisirim bekavana kedei liyafos hadavar elikim isasek. That you shouldn't shake it out purposely. It should just be that it happens to be as you're moving it around, it shakes out. But whenever you're masirim bekavana, whenever you're purposely shaking it out, even though you would have worn it otherwise, you would have worn the clothing without shaking it out, you're going to be chayiv for shaking it out. So it's a machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam. Is this just when you so don't care that you would never even do it purposely? Or that you might do it purposely, but you would have worn the clothing anyway. So that obviously Rashi is much more makel on this issue. The Bir Halacha in Simon Shin Beis, at the beginning of Simon Shin Beis, says the reason that it's aser when you're makbid is because that's called that's called beautifying the beged, that's called making the beged nicer. If you clean it off for someone else and you're makbid, but the person, the someone else that you're cleaning it off for is not makbid, so l'chora there's reason to be machmir, because for the one who's shaking it off, it's a yifoy of the beged, and he's the one that's doing the malacha. So, or you could say that no, that since for the balha beged, it's not considered a yifoy, so it's not called the malacha, because the person who's shaking it off doesn't really benefit anything from it, so for him, he doesn't care, so the beautifying the beged is irrelevant to him. For the balha beged, it's irrelevant because he doesn't mind at all, one way or the other. So if someone else is makbid, but then l'chora won't help. I would imagine that if someone else has dirt on their jacket and you notice that they have dirt on their jacket, and had they noticed, they would be makbid also. They would also take it off. It doesn't help the fact that they're not the ones that are actually doing it, because if you're doing it because you find it to be too dirty, and the person who's wearing it also finds it to be too dirty and would be makbid about it, so l'chora that would be a problem of shaking off the begadim on Shabbos. Right, Rashi says that it's an issur of libun when one shakes off the beged of on Shabbos. So says in Maravaita. Now Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan Hayotze betalis mekupelas munachas lal ksefo. If a person goes out on Shabbos with his talus folded on his shoulder, so chayiv chatos, he's chayiv to bring carbon chatos for carrying on Shabbos, because that's not the normal way that a person would wear a talus. Tanya namihachi sochri ksus ayotzim betalisos mekupalos umenachos al ksefan. Similarly, we talk about people who are selling clothing that go out with their talus folded over and placed on their shoulders. B'Shabbos chayiv chatos, they're chayiv chatos. Again, that's carrying. That's not called wearing. So it's certainly considered carrying. So velo. And it's not only about people who sell clothing, it's really anybody who goes out with their talus like that. We just gave the example of Sokhri Ksus because they are the people who are most likely to walk out with their talus like that. If a storekeeper goes out with his money, or and we'll see in a second that it's Lav Dafka, a storekeeper, but he goes out with coins tied into his clothing, also chayv chatos. It's not only about a chenveni, it's really anybody. It's just that it's the darko shel chenveni to go out in this way. How do we get to talking about a talus mekupelas going out with how do we get into hotzah over here? We were just talking about malabin, and all of a sudden now we're in hotzah. We're talking about carrying things. things. So if you look at Tosos, the Yotze Bitalis Mukapelis, Tosos explains the transition. Since we were talking about someone whose clothing got soaked, and that's a very common example of where someone would fold up his talis to put it over his shoulders, he doesn't want the soaked clothing all over the rest of his body. So once we talk about that, we talk about a situation where someone is likely to want to fold over his talis by his shoulders, so we then talk about the halacha of actually folding the talis over by the shoulders. Back in the Gemara, people of Ratanin, who are fast messengers, Yotzin Besudrin Shal Ksefan, they can go out with the kerchiefs on their shoulders. V'lo Ratanin Bilvad Omru, Elakol Adon El Shadak and Shal Ratanin, Lotzis Bekach. It's not only about Ratanin, anyone is allowed to do that, it's just that that's the derech of Ratanin to go out that way. There was a story once of Horkinus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus. And here you see another example of where we find in Tanaim and Amoraim that they would name after family members, that this was a significant shift from the times of Tanakh, where in Tanakh they would never name it after family members, they were always naming after events that occurred during the time of birth, or some inspiration that they had around the time of birth. Yaakov is named Yaakov because he holds the heel of Esav, and go through just one example after the other. They all relate to events, all the Shvatim, they all relate to what the parents were thinking or what was happening around the time of birth, but in already by the times of the Tanaim and Amoraim, they were naming after family members. So Rabbi Lazar ben Horkinus, not surprisingly, had a son named Horkinus. So the story happened with his son Horkinus, Sheyatza Besuda Shal Ksefa B'Shabbos, who went out with a kerchief on his shoulder on Shabbos. El Shanim Akrucha Lo Batzbo, but what he had was he had a string tied onto his finger. So Kshaba Davul V'nei Chachamim, when they went to the Chachamim to see whether he had done right or wrong, Amru Afile Einim Akrucha Lo Batzbo, they said he doesn't even need that. He doesn't even need the string tied to his fingers. That's it's a totally normal way to walk out on Shabbos, and therefore it's completely fine. Now we did have Horkinus, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus, not that long ago, about 3 weeks ago, on Daf Kuf Kav Zayinam and Beis. Remember, we had an entire Amud all about the topic of Dan Lekaf Schus, right? An entire Amud about Dan, and we had a story over there about someone who I don't know if it was Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus, I shouldn't say that, but we did have someone named Horkinus, right? The Gemara told the story of a Balabayas who employed somebody, and the time came for the guy to get paid, and the Balabayas said, "I don't have anything to pay you," and it was Yom Kippur, the guy wanted to go home, and he said, "Well, do you have payrolls? Do you have this? Do you have that? I have nothing." And then after the Yontif was over, he came and he brought all this stuff, and he paid him handsomely for his work, and he said, "What were you choshed me while all this was going on?" He said, "I figured you were makdish at the end of the day." He said, "I figured you were makdish all your nechassim l'shamayim." He said, "Ha'avoda kachaya, hidarti kol nechassim b'shvil Horkinus b'ni shlo osak b'torah." I did all of that, and you're right, it was all because of Horkinus, my son, that was not osak b'torah. So I'm not sure if that was the same Horkinus, or if it was just a common name, but they were suspicious of this Horkinus also at first, but the Chacham vindicated this Horkinus. So Darsh of Nachman bar Rav Chista, Mishmed Rav Chista, Halacha afu b'sheini makrucha lo batzbosav. The Halacha is like the Chacham said in our story, that even if the string is not tied around his finger, it's mutter for him to go out with that kerchief. So Ula ikla lebei asi barhini, Bomine Mal Lasus Marz of Bishabas. Ula went to the house of Asi Barhini, and he asked him, "Is a person allowed to make a gutter on Shabbos?" So Amr Luhu, Hachi Amra Ravi Lai, Rabbi Eloi also lasses marzav b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a gutter on Shabbos. So my marzav, what do we mean by making a gutter? Obviously, you don't need a big Talmud Chacham to ask a shayla whether you're allowed to build gutters onto your house on Shabbos. That's obviously aser. So what were they really asking? So I'm Rabbi Zera, kisi bavli yasa. They weren't talking about gutters on a house. They were talking about a special style of clothing that Rashi explains. Shemesalkin b'gdehem min ha'aretz k'shein aruchin v'kofonosan klapim malif. If they're wearing long flowing robes robes, these long clothing, they would fold up the bottoms of the clothing toward, you know, upward, and it would be held up by strings, and it was like kamin kis ukuma marzev, and it was like having a gutter, like a pocket around, it was a hem around the bottom of the clothing that was like an extra pocket where you can keep things inside the hem. So that was the, and it looks like a gutter, just like a gutter around the edge of a house has like a little base kibble, so they had like a little base kibble around the clothing. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu, so we said it's kisib of the yasser. Rabbi Yirmiyahu yasser kamed Rabbi Zera. Amalei hachi mai. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was in front of Rabbi Zera and he was asking him. He would pick up his clothing in a certain way and he would say, "What about this? Is this all right?" Amalei aser. He would say, "No, that's aser." Vahachi mai. What if I hold it this way? What if the clothing's put this way? Is this okay? Amalei aser. He said, "No, that's not okay either." Amra papa nekotai klal biyadcha. He says you have to follow the following basic rule. Kol adaita de lechnufe. Aser. Whenever you're picking up the garment in order to gather the garment together, that's to leave it that way for good, that's going to be aser. Kol de lisnos shari, but anytime it's only lisnos, it's only to beautify temporarily, that's going to be mutter. Even though the Gemara doesn't say the words permanent and temporary, Rashi adds that in. So if it's going to permanently change the garment, it's aser. If the intention is just to beautify the garment temporarily, that's going to be mutter. The Gemara then is going to tell three versions of a story where Rebbe accepted not to even fold the parts of his talus that normally cover the arms up on his shoulders, forgetting about folding over the whole garment up on his shoulders, but even the parts that normally just cover the arms to fold it over his shoulders. Even that, Rebbe, you know, the difference would be the way we wear our talus, where we fold up our talus over our shoulders. We're going to find that Rebbe was accepted not to even do that, even though technically Mekar Adin, it should have been Mutter, as opposed to what the Gemara was talking until now, which is the way the way people wear talus on TV, you know, where it's a scarf, where they, and I guess the other people wear talus that way, whatever, the improper way to wear a talus, where they wear it like a scarf. That's what we were talking about until now. So ki had the Rav Shisha b'rei the Rav Idi masna b'sadinu hava. The way Rav Shisha b'rei the Rav Idi would do it was he would wear it in a way that would just beautify it momentarily, and that was okay. Ki as Rav Dimi Amar. So here's the story. Pamachas yotzer Rabbi Lusada. One time Rabbi went out to the field. V'hayu shnei tzidei taliso munochen al ksefo, and the two sides of his talus were on his shoulders. Amar lefan of Yeshua ben Zirus ben Chamav shel Rabbi Meir. So Yeshua ben Zirus says to him, the son of the father-in-law of Rabbi Meir, so the brother-in-law of Rabbi Meir, Bezulo chi of Rabbi Meir chatas, isn't Rabbi Meir mechayev chatas for wearing clothing this way and walking outside that way on Shabbos? Amalei diktik Rabbi Meir ad kan. So Rabbi said, really? Rabbi Meir was so machmir, even just to take the parts that normally cover the arms and cover and put it on the shoulders, even that he didn't like? Shilshol Rabbi Taliso. So Rabbi lowered his talis down. He was willing to conform to what he had heard Rabbi Meir was careful about. He also Rabbi Amar lo Yeshua ben Zirus hava, el Yeshua ben Kafusai haya, chasano shel Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi said, no, you got the characters in the story incorrect. It wasn't Yeshua ben Zirus, it was Yeshua ben Kafusai, who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, Amar Bezulo Chiev Rabbi Akiva Chatos, and he didn't say that it was Rabbi Meir who was Mechayev Chatos in that situation. He said, isn't Rabbi Akiva Mechayev Chatos in this situation? Amar Lo Diktek Rabbi Akiva Ad Kan Shulshol Rabbi Taliso. So again, he said, I can't believe Rabbi Akiva was so makbid even on this. So Rabbi lowered his talis. And then the third version of the story, Kiyasar of Shmuel Barav Yehuda Amar Nishal Itmar. It's not that Rabbi did any of these things, that Rabbi was wearing his clothing in this way. Says Rashi, Lo ira maisa zel Rabbi, ela shalu lefan of mahu lotzeis bo. It's not that this story happened to Rabbi. They had asked him, what's the halacha in this story if someone were to do this? Ubikesh lahatir, and it's that Rabbi was ready to be matir, achar lefan of mishum Rabbi Meir chayev chatas. Until someone said, no, you should know, Rabbi Meir holds that it's an issur d'oraisa. The Iu writes chayev chatas is saying that it's not just an issur d'rabbanan, that it's an issur d'oraisa. Because to bring a chatas would be chul nazara if it were just a chumr drabanan. So it's a serious matter. The use of our whole ve'ena mukapelas sharei acharel hayu noflin lematam in ksefav el shetzidai menachnal ksefav have a sover derech malbushu. That Rebbe's thinking was that since the back of the talus is flowing all the way down to the ground and it's just the sides that are normally over the arms that I'm folding over my shoulders, that's derech malbush. That's not an unusual way to wear a talus and therefore shouldn't be a violation of carrying. But apparently, Rav Meir disagreed. Okay, so now we move on. Next Mishnah discusses bathing-related issues. Harochet b'mei ma'ara u'b'mei tveria. If a person bathes in cave waters or the waters of the springs of Tveria, v'nestapik, and then he dries off. Afilu be'eser aluntios. Even if he brings, if he dries off with 10 different towels, so lo yaviyem biyado, he's not allowed to carry those towels with him, even if there's an eruv, because the concern is that he's going to come to squeeze out those towels, even though there are 10 of them, so they can't be so saturated. There's not so much water in each of these towels. Still, we're worried that he's going to forget and he's going to squeeze out these towels. But you could have 10 people share a single towel where the towel is going to be drenched, it's going to be soaked, and that's no problem to carry that towel because you have 10 people, they'll each remind each other not to do schita. So there's power in numbers by having a group of people to remind each other to stay in line, not to violate any yisurim. And they can carry it in their hands. You can rub oil on the skin and lightly massage it in, but you're not allowed to deep massage the oil in. And you're not allowed to scrape the skin. You can't go down Likordima, says Rashi. It's the name of a river. The Gemara is going to explain what special value this river Kordima had that you're not allowed to go there on Shabbos. Ve'einos na piktavizin. We're not allowed to do anything to induce vomiting on Shabbos. Ve'ein ma'atzvin asakatan. We're not allowed to straighten the limbs of a child. Ve'ein machzirin asashever. We're not allowed to fix a broken limb, to put it back in place, to do some sort of refuah for a broken limb. Misha nifrika yadav ragel. If a person dislocated his arm or his leg, lo yitrufim etzonin kishnap. Massage it in cold water. Aval rochi tukadarkov in nisrape nisrape. But he could bathe it normally, and if that results in refuah, good. So then that will result in refuah. That's not your problem. That's totally fine. Says the Gemara. Katani me ma'ara dumya de me tveria. Ma me tveria chamin af me ma'ara chamin. The first line in the Mishnah was a person who washes in me ma'ara or Mei Tveria. So the assumption is, and what was the whole discussion about? The schita that's going to happen with the wet towels afterwards. The discussion was not about the actual bathing. And yet we associate Mei Mara with Mei Tveria, so probably we're talking about similar types of water. How are they similar? Ma Mei Tveria Chamin, Af Mei Mara Chamin. Just like Mei Tveria we know is warm water, because it happens to be naturally hot springs, so the Mei Mara that we must be speaking about is also warm water. And still, Haro, it's the evidence that we talk about someone who did bathe there, but we don't talk about lecharchila bathing there. But it sounds like to pour the water on your body, which is not derech rechitza, that would be mutter even lecharchila. So who holds that way? Money, Rabbi Shimon. He detanya leishtatif adam ben mecham ben mitzonin divrei meir. Rabbi Meir holds not let a shower even have the water poured on your body, whether it be warm water, whether it be cold water. Rabbi Shimon matir, but Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter to have even warm water poured on your body. And Rabbi Yehuda takes the middle approach. Rabbi Yehuda omer becham and aser bitzonin mutter, that it's aser to do in warm water, mutter in cold water. So again, our Mishnah implies showering in warm water is mutter. That's in line with Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Not like Rabbi Meir, who says you're not allowed to shower in any water, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're not allowed to shower in warm water, but you are allowed to shower in cold water. V'nistabeg afilu be'asra luntios. And we said that if you can clean yourself off, dry yourself off, even with 10 towels, if the person dried himself off, even with 10 towels, he's not allowed to carry those towels because we're afraid it's going to be asilu de schita. He's going to, so reisha rabusa, and then we said that 10 people share one towel, and they are allowed to carry that towel. So what's the chiddush? Reisha rabusa kamashmalan, v'sefer rabusa kamashmalan. Each part of this Mishnah is teaching me a new chiddush. Reisha rabusa kamashmalan dafilu hani delo nefishi buhumaya kiven dechadhu asilu de schita. In the Reisha we learn that even when you have 10 towels where each one can't have that much water because it's only one person that dried themselves with 10 towels, still, since it's only one person and there's no one there to remind the person, we are concerned that it's going to be maybe de schita, that you're going to come to squeeze it out. The safer rabusa kamashmalan, the safer is coming to teach us a chiddush, that afilu hani dinafishi buhumaya kiven derabim ninu mit kriya dadi, that even these towels that do have a lot of water in it, that since there are a lot of people there, they'll remind each other, and they're not going to squeeze it out. Tanu Rabbanan, Mistabik Adam Baluntos Manicha B'Chalon, V'Loim Serenu L'Ul Yarin Mneisha Chashud Malos Adaver. Person could dry off with a towel and place it in the window. A window means like a cubby, and he should not give it to the bathhouse attendants, the Yarin or the Balanim, the bathhouse attendants, because they're Chashud Al Osodaver. Osodaver Rashi Schita. They're Chashud on Schita. Osodaver always means like the worst, the unmentionable. So when you're dealing with a wet towel, the worst thing you could do with it is schita. So as far as wet towels go, also davar is schita. So you're not allowed to give it to the bathhouse tenants. We were always very suspicious of the bathhouse tenants. We had earlier in the Masechta that the Rabbanim made a gzera that you're not even allowed to bathe in warm water that was heated may Erev Shabbos because of gzera sabalanim. We were worried that the bathhouse attendants are going to heat up the water for you on Shabbos, and they're going to lie. They're going to say that it was heated up Erev Shabbos. They were running a business, and they wanted to satisfy their customers, and they weren't going to let religion get in the way of satisfying their customers. Rabbi Shimon Omer Mistapik Ba'aluntas Achas, or running their business. So Rabbi Shimon says Mistapik Ba'aluntas Achas Umviya Biyado L'Soch Beso. You could dry off with one towel and carry it home. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef Hilchsamai. So Rabbi Yosef says, okay, so what's the halacha now? Are you allowed to? Not allowed to. Amalei Ha Rabbi Shimon Ha Rebbe, Ha Shmuel, Ha Rabbi Yochanan. You have all these people that say that it's mutter, that it's not a problem to carry the towel home. You have Rabbi Shimon, you have Rebbe, you have Shmuel, you have Rabbi Yochanan. Really, where do we have all these people? Rabbi Shimon of the Amr, Rabbi Shimon, what we just said, Rabbi Shimon holds Mistapik Adam Al Lintasachs Mavia Biadal Toch Beso. So we got Rabbi Shimon down. What about the other Rabbanim? Who are these other Tanaim and Amoraim that hold this way? So Rebbe, where do we find that Rebbe holds this way? The Tanya, Amr Rebbe Kshayinu Lemaidin Torah, it's Rabbi Shimon B'Takoa. He says, when we used to learn Torah by Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa, Hayinu Malin Shemen Valuntis Mechotzer Legag Umigag Lekarfev Ad Sheinu Magin Eitzel Mayan Sheinu Rochtzin Bo. We used to bring oil from the Chotzer to the Gag, from a Gag to a Karfev, until we went taking shortcuts through different yards till we got to the Mayan, to the spring of water that we would bathe in. So apparently the idea is that they didn't leave everything there in the Makom Hefker, so Mestama, they would carry stuff back with them. Shmuel, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shmuel holds this way because we find that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says Mistabik Adam Aluntus Mavia Biyadol Toch Peso, that he says Beferish, that you could dry off in with an Aluntus and carry it home. So you see that he holds this way as well. Rabbi Yochanan, Dam Rav Chibarab, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halach Mistabik Adam Aluntus Mavia Biyadol Toch Peso. So Frekta Gemara, Miam Rav Yochanan Hachid. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that you could dry off with a towel and then bring it home? Vam Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kastam Mishnah, but doesn't Rabbi Yochanan always pass like Stam Mishnah? Yes, and our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Tan is Tabe Gafilu Be'Asra Luntis Loivim Biyado. That even if you use 10 towels and therefore they're not even so soaked, you're not allowed to bring them home. Says Gemara, who could ben Chachi Na'im Masnila? He would learn our Mishnah with three added words at the end of the Mishnah. Divrei ben Chachi Na'i. That's how what he adds to the Mishnah. That our Mishnah is going like a Das Yachid of ben Chachi Na'i. But he wouldn't paskin like our Mishnah because it's not a Stam Mishnah anymore. He adds a name to the Mishnah. Once you add a name to the Mishnah, so it's not a Stam Mishnah. So good. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'ol Yaron Mevin Balare Nashim Lebei Bani, Oblvachi Yiskasu Behen Roshan Veruban. The Balanim can bring Balare Nashim, the special towels that women would use to dry themselves off, they're allowed to bring them by wearing them to the bathhouse, as long as they actually wrap themselves in it in a way that it's going to cover Roshan Veruban, that it's going to cover most of their body. Sachnisa Tzarech Lekasher Beiz Roshel Lamata. A kerchief, they have to tie the two tips of the kerchief underneath. Amr Abchia Bar Abba Amr, so they have to tie it on really well in order to be able to carry it, so that it could be that they're wearing it and they're not carrying it. So they make sure that, and also to make sure it doesn't fall off the head, so that you don't come to carry it. Amr Abchia Bar Abba Amr Biyachron Lamata Mikesvayim. They would tie it under the shoulders. Amlu Rav Lebnei Machuzak Hima Avrisu Mani Lebnei Chela. He would say, when you go bring the begadim of the Ovdi Chavim to the Bnei Hachel, the army people, the soldiers that you're responsible for taking care of, that's the way the army used to be supported, that a community was responsible for taking care of its group of soldiers. So when you're bringing the stuff that they need to them on Shabbos through Rosh Hashanah, sharvivu buhu lamata mikasfayim, let them hang beneath your shoulders, so that it will be that you're wearing them and not that you're carrying them, because you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Okay, sachnu mashmashin. So the Mishnah said we can apply oil and massage the skin lightly, but we said that you're not allowed to massage the skin heavily on Shabbos. So Tan Rabbanan, sachnu mashmashin b'vnei me'ayim b'Shabbos, u'bavat shelo yasa kederach shu'osu b'chol. You can apply oil to the skin and lightly massage, as long as you don't do the same way you would do on a weekday. Hey Chiyavitz, what do you do? How do you do differently than a weekday? I mean, you're supposed to massage the oil in a different way than you normally would. So what's a shinoi? What's a different way? That you put the oil on and then start doing the rubbing in. Normally on a weekday, you would do it in the reverse order. Rabbi Yochan says you do it at the same time. So either rubbing the oil in before or at the same time that you massage the skin, and that's enough of a shinoi from what they would do it on a weekday, where they would start massaging the skin before they would put the oil in. Avalomis amun. The Mishnah went on to say you're not allowed to massage intensely on Shabbos. So Amr b'chir barabba, Amr b'yochran, also la'amud b'karkiisa shel diumeses mneshema meles umerape. That Rabbi Yochanan said a person is not allowed to stand in the mud of the Diumeses River because it invigorates the skin. It massages the body and it's merape. It's a refuah. Amr b'yidom rav kol yameh shel diumeses esrim ve'echad yom v'atzeres min aminyan. The entire period of time where Diumeses has therapeutic value is a total of 21 days, and amongst those 21 days is Atzeres. So Yibayilu, Atzeres Laigisa, Alaigisa. Where does Atzeres fit? Where does the Yontif of Shavuos fit in that 21 days? Is it the beginning or the end of the 21 day period? So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's try to bring a Raya. Damar Shmuel, Kulu Shakyane, Midivcha Viad Atzarta Malu. That all the healing drinks, all the drinks that are good, that serve for therapeutic value, from Divcha Adatzarta, they're good. So maybe that's a raya that it ends at Atzeres, right? It says, so you see that Atzeres is at the end of the time period of the healing. So says Gemara, no, maybe that's not a raya. Dilma Hasum hu dekama de karir alma mali. Maybe over there the cooler it is in the world, the better off it is for the therapy of it. Aval hachamishum havluhu, but the actual river that we're talking about that has therapeutic value, it's the heat that helps. Kibin the chamim alma tvei mali. So the closer you get into the summertime after Shavuos, the better it's going to be, the more valuable it's going to be for therapy. Amra bichelbo chamra de purgiyasa umaya de diumeses. Kipchu aseres hashvatim. So he says that the combination of the enjoyment of these waters of Diumeses and the special wine of Prugiyasa caused the 10 shvatim to abandon the Torah lifestyle and become lost from the Jewish people. That they were so enjoyable, they were so gishmak, that the gashmius caused them to forget about the value of the ruchnius of Torah, and they abandoned Judaism. So that's what kipchu aseres hashvatim Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach ikla lahasam. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach once paid a visit. He once went there, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was a pretty great person, obviously. Imshech basrayu, and he was swayed by it, and he was drawn to it. Iyakar Talmudei, and he started forgetting his learning. Kihadar asa kam lemikri besifra. So after he got back from there, he wanted to get up and to learn and to read. So ba'im lemikra hachodesh hazalechem, and he was ready to read hachodesh hazalechem. Amar hacheresh hayalibam, and he got it completely wrong. He misread the dalet as a resh and the chaf as a base. He read hacheresh hayalibam. He took completely a pasuk that every bar be'rav knows how to read, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach couldn't read it because of the influence of this gashmius. Bo Rabban Rachmi alei v'hadar Talmudei. So the Rabban davened for him, and his learning came back. V'ainu d'tanan Rabbi Nuroi Yomer havigol l'makom Torah. That's what Rabbi Nuroi always says. You should be gol l'makom Torah. You should always go to a place of Torah. V'al tomer sheitavu acharecha shechaverecha yikaimu biyadecha v'al binascha al tishan. And don't think that it's going to follow you and that your chaverim will always keep your Torah. That it's going to follow you wherever you go, because it's your chaverim will keep you sharp in Torah. And don't rely on your own bina. Tana lo Rabbi Nuroi Shemo el Rabbi Nechemia Shemo. His name wasn't Rabbi Nuroi, his name was Rabbi Nechemia. Ava Amri lo Rabbi Lozer ben Arach Shemo, and some say his name was Rabbi Lozer ben Arach. Veloma Nikra Shemo Rabbi Nuroi Shemani Reini Chacham Balacha. He was called Rabbi Nuroi because he was Mani Reini Chacham Balacha. He enlightened the eyes of the Chachamim in Halacha. So even someone as great as Rabbi Lozer ben Arach fell prey to these enjoyments, forgot his learning, couldn't read a Ferish apostle, needed his friends, needed the Rabbanon to be misspelled for him to get it back, and that's why he's the one that taught that you should always be Gola L'makom Torah, because he learned from experience how important it is to be Gola L'makom Torah. A couple more lines of Alomis Garin, Torah Rabbanon, Im Gorin B'magreris B'Shabbos, Rav Shugman Miel Omer, Im Hoi Ragov M'lchachos B'titu B'tzoa Goror K'darko Veinu Choshesh, Rav Shmuel Bar Yuda Avdilei Ime M'gararta De Kaspa. So the Mishnah said you're not allowed to scrape the skin on Shabbos because it's a weekday activity. So two exceptions to Yisrael. Rav Shmuel Gamliel allows scraping mud off, since that's not the usual way to scrape on a weekday. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's mother made a special silver scraper for him to use on Shabbos, so it's not going to be considered a weekday activity. What you see from here is there are two ways to avoid Uvdu D'chol. One way to avoid Uvdu D'chol is to do it in a different way than you would do it during the weekday, meaning that the method, the Maisa, should be different than the Maisa you do during the weekday. The other way to avoid Uvdu D'chol is by using a different kli than you would use during the weekday. That if in the weekday you would use a certain type of scraper, so you have a special one designated that says L'kavit Shabbos Kodesh, and that way it's going to be different than the weekday one. So both of those are valid methods to avoid the problem of Abdul Khal. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.